So now, I don't know about for you guys, maybe it's just me, but sometimes life can be overwhelming. Sometimes we can be feel like we're swimming in debt. Sometimes we can be having arguments, it seems, with everybody around us. Not for me just yet, but the kids are non-stop 24/7. I seem to hear that seems to be something I need to be getting prepared for. All right, and sometimes it can be really hard to keep on going. What gives us the strength to keep going? What gives us the strength to overcome these things? This is what we're going to be talking about tonight. So we're going to read this passage from Hebrews. So if you've been with us for a couple of months now, we've been going through Hebrews 11. We've started from verse 1 and we're about verse 32 today. We're going to be reading from verse 32 to 35. And this is, we start to get towards the home stretch of this passage. It's a summary of some of the other people in the Bible. We've gone through some individual, I don't want to say characters, but people in the Bible that and their stories, and these people that were renowned for their faith, that the Bible notices them for having a lot of faith. So we're going to be looking at some more tonight. A little bit more next week, and then we're going to sum it all up in about 2 weeks' time. So tonight, these particular people, we're talking about strength and overcoming. So let's read this passage from Hebrews 11, verse 32 to verse 35. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. They became valiant in battle. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens, or foreigners, people outside their town. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So, again, how to overcome? All right, what we're going to do is we're going to have a very brief look at some of the people that we looked at here. Gideon, Barak, Samson. Yeah, some might say that Samsung's doing pretty well at overcoming Apple, but you know, I don't know if they used faith to get there, so I'm not going to use them as an example. So we'll stick with Samson from the Bible. Jephthah, David and Samuel, we see these people. These are people that had faith and through their various circumstances were able to overcome. So again, very briefly, let's have a real quick look at some of these people. So let's look at Gideon. Hands up if you know any of the story of Gideon. Right? Cool. So Gideon was a man from an average household, average tribe. He was an average job, you know, he just cut wheat, okay? Yet Gideon's instructed to go forth against this massive army who's sort of holding his nation hostage, a group called the Midianites. They were oppressing his nation. So, you know, God says, nah, go out, got it sorted. He says, all right, I'll trust you. So he goes out there with this army of 32,000 people, which very quickly gets cut down to 300. This is the actual 300 story. All right, it's not actually related to the other one that we hear about. But he's sitting there with 300 people, 300 men. His army from 32,000 be cut down to 300. Okay. So what does he do? Does he run and say, okay, well, I said I was going to have trust in God. I was going to have faith, but look where that's got me. He says, no, all right, faith. And you know, God said he'd prevail, and he did. And in this situation, God struck the whole Midianite army with confusion and they just all went to ruin and his army was successful. So there's a particular situation where someone who had faith that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, and it worked out. Samson, I'll skip this guy. Samson, by faith, this guy overcame a lot in his life. We see that God gave him a lot of strength. But he had faith that he was able to do some of these incredible things. You know, he had many failings, and an interesting thing you'll see about all these people in that list, if you look in more in depth at the stories, all of them had a lot of things wrong with them. There were a lot of people that had failed God on many occasions. You know, Samson, you know, if you've either seen that movie or read the books, things like that, you'll read the book, as in the Bible, right? So you've seen the story of Samson. You read about, you know, when he fell in with Delilah and, you know, his hair cut and lost it all. But he comes back with his faith and God was able to use him and do some amazing things. David is another one who's mentioned. All right, who knows the story of David and Goliath? All right, so look at that. Do you think that that took a lot of faith? All right, I think to stand up to a pretty big dude like that, I think that took a lot of faith. All right, David has many other stories throughout the Bible, and we don't have time to look into them tonight, but there are many other stories where you see his faith prevail in these situations when you look at the odds and you say, okay, when I line this up, okay, there's no chance. And God says, no, leave it to me. And he says, okay, I'll trust you. And faith got him through those tough times, and he was able to see God work in some amazing ways. So look, all of these seem some cool Bible stories. And again, I've done a 30-second preview because we've been looking at these people for like the last couple of months. And we're seeing all these stories about people who had faith, who made these choices to follow God, these choices to have faith in this God. But I don't know how much we've looked at what actually is faith. Okay, what exactly is faith? You know, we talk about having faith in something. What does that actually mean? Okay, I think it gets bandied around today, and even those people who aren't, you know, Christians probably use that sort of thing. Oh, I just have faith that it'll be used for good, or just, you know, faith things will get better. And what does it actually mean? You know, for some reason people feel comforting when someone says, oh yeah, no, I just got to have faith. What does that even mean? All right, so that's what we're going to spend the rest of tonight looking at. And we're really fortunate, actually, that the Bible spells it out super clearly what faith is. You know, we don't have to sort of try and piece things together and, oh, well, it's a bit like this. No, it's actually really obvious what faith is. So we have this passage, actually, that starts this whole thing in Hebrews that talks exactly about what faith is. And it says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Right? It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Right? And through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. Right? And that's what we've been reading about over the last couple of months. Okay? We've been reading about these men of old who had this faith. Okay? So when God tells us things, usually in his word, how can we be sure that what he says is going to happen actually happens? Okay, how can we be sure that what he says is actually true? This is what faith is, okay? It's this confidence in these things that we can't quite see or grasp, but an assurance that we have that these things are going to come to pass and that they are true. Now, we have faith in a lot of things in life. We have faith that when we turn on the key, that our car is going to start, okay? Mine doesn't always do it. It's a bit frustrating because my battery is a bit weird. But it's interesting. I doubt many of us actually know how a car works. Right? Most people have no idea how it works. But, you know, I turn it and it just comes to life. You know, you call that magic. You call it whatever you want. You know, when you know how a car works, it doesn't seem that amazing. But, you know, it's when you look at that, we have faith that that will, you know, that it's just going to happen. I turn the car on, it's going to start. We have faith that when Michael brings his coffee machine to church, we all get a phenomenal cup of coffee, right? You might not know how that happens, but you just trust that it will. All right, it's one of those little miracles of life, you know? So how do we... I haven't brought it in a while, so some of you are going, what are you talking about? All right? I'll have to show you what faith is. I'll bring the coffee machine. No. All right, so how do we get faith, okay? This is a little bit tricky, but I think at some point we just have to trust, okay? It's... if you sit there waiting with the key going, oh, I don't know if it's going to work or not. You know, I sit here deliberating, but I really got to get to work, but I don't know. At some point, you just got to turn the key and the car starts. All right, you know, sometimes you've got to have faith that the car's going to start. When you try one of my coffees and you see how awesome they are, you know, then you'll have faith that they're going to be pretty good going forwards, okay? So, interestingly, when we exercise faith, all right, when we say, you know what, I'm just going to turn the car on, have a coffee, whatever. When we exercise faith and we see these things that we hope for actually happen, it gives us some assurance about things to come. It gives us assurance about some things that we, you know, that we cannot see. Now, you know, I joke about coffee and cars, but getting serious, when we look at these people in the Bible and all the ones that we've been talking about for the last couple of months, they all had faith, okay? Right, they all had this understanding like this that what God has said is going to happen is going to happen. I can't quite see why, but you know, as they trust God, and you see them as they trust God, we have a really cool opportunity in hindsight now in seeing the way the Bible has played out. You can actually see, you know, from our side, it's like, oh, he doesn't realize that three chapters later God, you know, answers that promise and actually does what he's going to say. I think we all forget that at the time they didn't know that. Okay, so at the time, as history's playing itself out, when God says, just trust me, I've got this sorted, they didn't go, oh, yeah, well, it's fine because I read three chapters later and everything turns out all right. Okay, they didn't know that. So as it's playing out, you see each stage, but then you see progressively, not always, but progressively as they get this better relationship with God, they trust him further and further, they see this previously that God is working, right? And this really helps build their faith over time. And so that's, I think, something that is useful for us when thinking about faith as well. The next question we ask is faith in what? Because again, we've understand what faith is now. People of the world can say, okay, great, you know, it's easy to have faith in something we can't see, like Mike said, cars or whatever. You know, sure, we should all have faith that our cars will turn on. That's fine. Okay, well, that's not really the point of the word faith, okay? That's not really the point of the story that we've been reading about and we've been going through the last few months. The point is not to have just this blind confidence in things we don't see. The point is who we're having faith in, okay? So the question we're asking is, faith in what? I think a number of the things that we've seen over the last few months start to point at some of the things that we're having a faith in, okay? The first one is the faith in a God who created the universe. All right, we've seen some, this is in Hebrews 11, right in the very next verse, it says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. All right, and we've, right in the beginning, we looked at the story of Adam and Eve, and we read this creation story, and this in intimate detail, we're able to see, you know, the playing out of this God who created the universe. So the first thing is that the faith we have is in a God who created the universe. The next thing that we have a faith in is the God who works miracles. All right, so I just picked down the first ones that come to mind from what we've been looking at the last couple of months. We've seen Moses fairly recently. We see that sign in the burning bush, if you remember, right? He's had the signs that he had, like with the serpent and, you know, with all the different things with going to the Pharaoh and saying, you know, if you don't let my people go, it's going to, all these horrible things are going to happen. You see the big parting of the Red Sea. Parting of the sea. All right, Noah, we see the ark. That's a pretty big miracle with, you know, building this big ark and then all the animals going on there and then just, you know, floods destroying the whole world. Previously, in a couple of weeks ago, we saw that Jericho's walls just came down. They just walked around it seven times and these walls fell down. So we're having faith in a God who created the universe, having faith in a God who works miracles. The other thing we're having faith in is a God who works acts of providence. Now, who can tell me what providence means? Do you know, Jonathan? It's a big word. You can tell me what providence means. What's it mean, Ken?
God works all things together for his glory.
Cool. Thanks, Ken. So, I like to think of this as when we talk about, look at all those coincidences that happen, right? All these things that just amazingly play together and we know that they're actually God's hand, okay? Because when you look back and see them, there's no way that these are just random choice of events. This is the way that God weaves everything together for his glory. So we see Rahab is like the most amazing case of this. We looked at her last week. And you see this incredible story of someone who's in a whole nation that's against God. And then God just picks one person and says, you know what? There's one person, they're still in their sin, you know, we're going to send some people in to go and take this one person, but they still don't even know who I am, and I just pluck them out. You know, this is an amazing, it was a coincidence that these people stopped at the inn that Rahab owned. Of course it wasn't. This is the way that God weaves all these things in. It was a phenomenal story of that. All right, we see many more with Abraham and Moses down the river, and then gets picked up by this, just happens to be, you know, the daughter of Pharaoh. Okay, so all these things that we see, these acts of providence, these ways that God uses all these things together. And I think this is the thing that we see the most in our life. Okay, it takes a lot of faith, right? When we look back at our situation over the years, it takes a lot of faith to believe that God doesn't exist, because you look at the way things just seem to work out, right? Not all the time, you know, it's not so obvious as that. It's the way that just everything fits together, you know. I've talked in the past about how I had a big car accident, nearly died and all that sort of stuff. But I look at all those little things that happened since then, all the way that event and the next event and the next event that just lead me onto the path where I am. And you can see the way that God just weaves this all together, you know, to give him glory and to do the best things for me. You know, I look back and think of my car accident that cost me a lot of money at the time. It was one of the best things that ever happened to me. You know, so in his providence, you know, in his way to weave things together, he's used these things to bring it all together. All right, so that's the next thing. We have faith in a God who created the universe, faith in a God who works miracles, God who works acts of providence. All right, briefly, we saw a couple of weeks ago, I think we talked about the Passover, which was a thing that really was a sign and looked at the sacrifice that Christ would make, right? This is a God that, right from very early on, was pointing to this picture of needing a Savior to come and reconcile the people to himself. So, again, this is something that God really thought about. This is a part of this God who we have faith in. Right? Another one is the God who promises, all right? We're getting through these nice and quickly. All right, the God who promises. We've seen so many promises that God has made throughout the Bible. We've seen so many promises that he then comes good on. Again, a couple of chapters later, that's what we've been spending a lot of time looking at. All right, he tells people that they're going to win a war, and you know, with his help, they win the war. He promises Abraham that he'll never, Noah, that he'll never again flood the whole earth like he did with the ark. But you know, he's kept that promise. And there are so many other promises that we see throughout the Bible that God just keeps. All right, so we have a God who created the universe. We have a God who works miracles. We have a God who weaves everything together, you know, for our good and to glorify him. All right, we have a God that right from the beginning made a way when we sinned, right, with Adam and Eve, right in the beginning of the creating part. He was already making a way that we could be one with God again, all right? So, and then we have a God who keeps his promises, okay? And that is really huge, okay? A God that keeps his promises, that's the thing that helps us. That's the thing when we turn the key on and it works, when God has kept his promises throughout the ages, when we say, how do we know God's going to keep honoring his promises? Okay, well, we have a pretty good indication from what we've seen so far. And one of the biggest promises that God actually made was that there would be a Savior that would come and bring his people close to God. So he said to Abraham, he said, in your seed, you know, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So right there in the first book of the Bible, he's already saying, I'm going to provide a way for people to, the big word they use is reconciled, or be brought back together in a relationship with God. Now the cool thing, this is another promise that we've actually already seen the fulfillment to. All right, we've been hearing about Jesus. You've heard about Jesus. You know, we talk about him a lot. Okay, you're probably very familiar with the story about him coming and dying for the sins of people who are against God, which is all of us. All right, so this was the way that finally, the way that he allowed and brought about for us to have a relationship with God. All right, so this is one of the biggest promises that God has done. Now, where does faith come into that promise? Okay, where does faith fit into that? Again, we have another very clear passage here in the book of Ephesians. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, and because of his great love with which he loved us, even while we were dead in trespasses, that big word just means our rebellion against God, all right, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, that's a free gift, you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, that's his free gift, and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Right, and this is where the faith bit comes in. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So this gift here, okay, this gift of grace that God has provided, and if you were with us this morning, Ken talked about grace being God's riches at Christ's expense. Did I get that right? Yep. Okay, I always say it the wrong way for some reason. Okay. This gift that God has done, okay, we see that it's this gift that we've been saved. This is that thing that we've been talking about for weeks now. It's grace is how we've been saved, but it's this faith thing here that we need to believe that, okay? You can't see salvation. If God came down here right now and said, yeah, that's all true, it's all legit, you should believe it, you know, follow me, that sort of thing, it wouldn't make it any easier to believe. We'd all just go, wow, we're crazy. I think I need one of Michael's coffees, right? So it's not going to, you know, at some point you have to take this step where you say, okay, we need faith in this promise, okay, faith in this gift of grace. Now, I said at the start that sometimes life can be overwhelming. We can be swimming in debt. As I said, we can be having arguments with those around us, the kids might be going non-stop 24/7, and it can be really hard to keep on going. What gives us the strength to keep going? What gives us the strength to overcome? Faith can give us the strength to overcome. When we have faith in the God of the universe, when we have faith in God of miracles, when we have faith in the God that weaves everything together, when we have faith in a God who keeps his promises, when we have faith in a God that is able to save us from death, this is how we get the strength to overcome. This is how things become bearable. Do you see this, that if you're swimming in debt, when the kids are driving you nuts, if you have faith in Christ, you have the God of the universe you can talk to. You have the one who created the world wanting to have a relationship with you. This is what helps us to overcome. This is what helps us through all of life's problems. When the Lord is our life and salvation, whom shall I fear? Writes the psalmist. I always ask this. Who knows what my next question is? What about you? Do you have faith? Do you have a confidence that what you hope for will actually happen? Do you have an assurance about things that you can't see? Do you have faith that God is able to save you from your disobedience to him? Do you have faith that he can help you through whatever you are struggling through? If not, it's time to have faith. It's time to start believing. At some point, you just have to turn the key. All right, you can't deliberate forever. You're missing out on a phenomenal joy that you can feel, a peace that you have when you don't have to worry about these things anymore. All right, there's no need to be anxious when the God of the universe is on your side, or rather when you're on his side. So I encourage you to have faith and believe in Jesus whom God sent.